Starfleet Command has said that they are appalled at the very notion that an organization like Section 31 might exist, and that they plan to get to the bottom of this entire business.
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 29. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
On today's show, we have an interview with Kevin Yeager. We'll talk about and spoil the card he created for the next set.
And get a new perspective on interaction decks. Well, Kevin, welcome. Congratulations on your stellar performance at Worlds this year.
All right, thank you. Glad to be here.
Can you give us a brief rundown on your experience with this year's Worlds and with your performance in general, and then in particular, I'd be curious to know how you felt about how it went, this being the first Worlds post-Decipher.
Generally speaking, it was really a great experience. I've gone to Gen Con, umpteen number of times, both when it was in Milwaukee and now three times when it's been in Indianapolis. The whole experience itself it's awesome just to go there and be surrounded by the massive geekdom that we all know and love. And then, to play Trek specifically, it's just a lot of fun to really just dive into it and be completely surrounded by it and to play against the best players. Some of the best players in the world, not all of them, but a good number of the best players in the world. It's just amazing, especially considering the fact that, I did not play second edition when it first came out, and to have the opportunity to play against people like James Hoskins, people who I, when I got into the game, really idolized as being a good player and was learning from them without them even knowing it, to have the chance to play them and ultimately to best James head-to-head in a live contest, it really was a great full circle experience for me.
What playgroup do you represent? Where do you usually play your games?
Technically, I consider myself to be part of two groups. The first group is ultimately my group here in South Dakota. There's four of us that play here in Sioux Falls. Myself, Nate Lindgren, Aaron Arnold, and Preston Holiday. But the thing is that we can kind of consider ourselves just to be a satellite group of the Minnesota players. I mean, if you were to ask me, if I would just be approached by somebody at random and say, what play group are you part of? I would say Minnesota, but I'm South Dakota, but I consider myself to be part of Minnesota.
Now, you mentioned a bit getting into 2E and looking up other decks to see what was going on in the 2E community. Is that sort of how you go about building up? You've been a contender this year, but for the last couple of years, doing really well. Is that how you decide what you're going to play and what you play test to see what works? Do you just come up with ideas out of nowhere? Or I know you guys they do a lot of really good play testing in that Minnesota group. What is your process for building these the decks that you've been so successful with?
Well, a long time ago, I learned that my learning style is hands on. And I learned to play second edition by just simply building what other people had and then just playing it. And that's how I learned all the ins and the outs of the game. I guess my road to success is paved with just a lot of copycatting. I build both what other people are playing with, and then I try to build all brand new things on my own and try to come up with new decks. And I guess that's kind of how I got started. I got started building what everyone else was playing, and then I've ultimately morphed now into a more advanced, more complete player by coming up with entirely brand new ideas.
Sorry, that still sounds pretty time-consuming. How often do you get to play now?
Well, back when I was a college student, I played a lot more than I do now. When I was unmarried, I got to play a lot more than I do now. And nowadays, it just varies. Like a professional athlete, I have an on-season and an off-season. Now that Worlds is over, I barely play at all. But as soon as March will come around again, I'll be probably playing, 5 to 10 hours a week again.
So for winning Worlds this year, you were given the opportunity to work on a card. Is that right?
Yes, yes, I was. I actually considered it to be the biggest of all the prizes that I won, especially after watching Caleb design cards, you know, and the things that he came up with, that designing a card was probably the biggest prize for me personally. So it was actually, it's been quite enjoyable to work with Brad to do that.
How did you narrow down, you know, recently the, of course, board, everyone on the board got to do the card design, and it started very broad and narrowed down to, you know, to what the final product was. How did you do that narrowing down?
Just like with what was done on the boards, you know, Brad just simply asked me, he's like, come up with a storyline and come up with a general idea of what you want the card to do. It doesn't have to be specific, obviously. The more broad, the better. It didn't take me long to come up with an answer, because that was a question that was asked to me by the Minnesota players as we're out at the bar celebrating. So I had a lot of discussion about it immediately after the tournament victory. So by the time I talked to Brad, I probably had already sifted through 20 ideas. And as far as the narrowing down is concerned, there was, I don't know, that was more or less the process of just going through what my design goals were. I know Brad told me, he's like, come up, he's like, what are your design goals for this card? And one of them was it had to have Jedzia be related in some way. The second, yeah, the second goal was that it had to be a card that would see play. I want to design a card that I think people are going to use. And then the third goal was that it just had to be simple. That whatever it did, it had to be straightforward, and it had to have, you know, it had to have like little to no rules quandary come about because of it. So, and that really narrowed down a lot of my choices.
Now, looking at the card, it seems it's certainly, the concept of it is simple enough, but there's a whole lot of text there for what is essentially a really simple task.
Well, first off, the card that you guys have in front of you isn't the finalized version yet. I talked to Brad recently about changing it, tweaking it, and it's a very small tweak, but it has a very big result. First off, I'll ask you guys a question. What do you guys think before I even spoil the card?
Well, I like the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're doing your lobbying, you could lobby for a archive portrait version of the card.
That was my biggest complaint. That needs to be it needs to be cut down to two lines and made an archive portrait.
Okay. I told Brad what I would like for the picture, and then of course he just simply told Johnny, and they pretty much got the exact photo that I wanted, that I had in my head. The image that was in my head is exactly what's on that card, and it's I commend Johnny or whoever pulled that picture for their work, because that is exactly what was in my mind when I said to Brad, I want the picture of Jedzia having just removed her wrap and showing off her bathing suit. And that is exactly what's on there.
I was just going to say, to actually answer your question as far as gameplay was concerned, my reaction was essentially sort of what you've been talking about. I did not feel like it was... The other cards that do what that does are interesting, but they're sort of a passing, like, okay, you play this personnel and that happens. And it's like, okay, well, I'll do it because I'm playing this personnel, but I don't know that I would play this personnel specifically for that. And I don't know that I would play this interrupt as written specifically for its goal. If the random part was removed and it was selection and then went out of the game, I would definitely be putting this card in my deck for more than just the picture.
And that is exactly what I said to Brad, too, that, you know, part of my lobbying effort came as a result of the fact that when I started playing it with it as being a player's choice, it really did not affect how it would be used. I might as well just go ahead and spoil what the card does so that people
can actually follow along here. Sure, let's go ahead and spoil it so we can,
so people can actually follow along with what I'm saying here. It's an interrupt. Picture of Jedzia with her bathing suit on and Worf basically staring at her glory. And it's two lines of text. The card is tentatively titled Improved Scenery. And the card's game text is essentially discard a random card from your hand to examine the number of dilemmas atop an opponent's dilemma pile equal to the cost of that card. Then you have to replace them in that same order, and then you remove the card from the game. So if you randomly discard a 7-cost ship, you get to look at the top 7 cards of an opponent's dilemma pile and then put them back. So if you attempt with 7 people, you would know exactly what they're going to draw. And that, and the reason why that was my choice for game text was that's how I won Worlds. Because I spent the entire tournament looking at everyone's dilemma pile constantly. I used Worf, you know, I think, God, I counted 20 some times in one game. You know, half of those were because I would look at it and then put it down, look it through my people, and then forget what I even saw and then have to look at it again. But the ability to know what was on my, what I was going, my opponent was going to draw, I thought was just absolutely huge. But as I said, you know, it's a random discard now, but I would like it to be player's choice. Originally, the card had its function, and that was it. And then through playtesting, I was told that it was actually, even though it was a random function, that the fact that it could be retrieved from the discard pile was making it too powerful. And so it had to ultimately have a remove from the game text. And so I have been lobbying Brad to then remove the random element of it and make it the player's choice.
Yes.
I think that would be a lot better. So it sounds like in your Path to Worlds, you played a lot of you played a solver deck in the last few rounds. You said that won you Worlds with that dilemma manipulation. We here are big fans and promoters of interaction decks. I was just wondering what your general opinion is on that. Our consensus has been that you basically have to balance out whether or not it's worth taking a turn to engage in some kind of engagement or assault or whatever. Is that going to be worth the sacrifice of an attempt? Is it worth it to take that time to slow down your opponent versus forwarding your own or furthering your own missions? Do you regularly play in any type of interaction, either in your playtest groups, or did you basically stick with solvers as you made your way through Worlds?
Well, first off, I am well known in the Minnesota group for my interaction decks. Caleb in particular gets rather frustrated when I battle him. Caleb is an amazing mission solving player, and because he is so good at it, you know, he knows how to beat you when you're playing mission solving. He has, I don't know, the Star Trek equivalent of a QB clock in his head. He can look at a situation and know just how many turns in front of you or behind you he is. And to sort of shake that up a little bit, I have had a moderate amount of success playing interaction decks in the Minnesota playgroup. Part of the reason why I have multiple reasons why I play them. One, because it's just good to shake up your local meta. I attribute a huge chunk of our success in the Minnesota playgroup winning Worlds 3 years in a row now to the fact that everybody in our group has something different that they're good at. And one of the things that happened at Gen Con, you know, that was such a huge part of my success was the fact that, you know, the Minnesota players, we all have like a tradition where we go out to Denny's each night at Gen Con and we bounce ideas off each other and stuff like that. We try to help each other out. And huge props go out to Dave Cook and Zach Magnuson for helping me tweak my deck between day one and day two and giving it that extra little punch and extra oomph. The cards that they helped me put in were Starting Over and the Interrupt Stopper, Surprise Amity. The two cards that I added ended up winning me games. Outright winning me games without question. So huge props to them. I brought a Prometheus deck. I brought Prometheus Battle to the Minnesota Regional and went 4-1. So I think that the interaction type of deck is one that is good. It can be good. I've seen it be good. However, it's just not the kind of deck that anyone can play. It takes a certain mentality to be able to play it, because instead of instead of caring about what skills my opponent has in play, my interaction decks focus on two skills. One skill is a skill that I've predetermined by the dilemma pile, and the other skill is whatever is most prevalent on their missions. And I try to kill as much of that of those skills as I possibly can. And then the other thing I do is I track my own counters. Instead of gauging where I'm at with my opponent, you know, whether he's ahead of me or I'm behind him, I'm gauging how many turns is it going to be before I get my chance to blow him up. How many, you know, and what cards do I need to have in play to do that? And then I do the math on the number of counters that's going to take, and then I figure out whether or not I can do it in time. And that's just an entirely different way of playing the game than playing a mission solver. One, I think the interaction deck is viable. I think it's a deck that can do well at Worlds. Do I think it will win Worlds? No. You know, I played Interaction last year, and I had a blast playing it. But it just it won't take you far enough at the World Championship level because it's a best of three. And when your opponent gets one game to see what you're doing and possibly beat you and then have two games to know how to work their way around you, it's just hard.
All right, well, I'm getting word that our transmission is starting to fade out, so we want to thank Kevin for stopping by. You can report to your capturing agent, and he will return you to your facility of origin.
Okay, thanks, guys. You know, it's been a blast having you on here. I just have one question for you guys first, though. Do these drugs have any sexual side effects?
If it lasts for more than 3 hours, consult your physician.
And with that, we are out of intelligence for this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt, I want to once again thank Warp 11 for their kick-ass theme song. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And in an attempt to expand my power in the universe, I will attempt this mission with 9.
Right, so I will just use complications, vacation from the continuum, hindrance, predicament, endangered, and stir crazy. I'll draw 29 dilemmas to end.